Praise God. We do record our messages so that we can go back over them. They're put up on the Facebook page. Main reason we do it is because Jackie gets a kick out of hearing her name called when she's in Texas, letting her know that we love her. Okay, it's not the only reason we do it, but she does get a kick out of it. Jim and Kathy haven't mentioned whether or not they get a kick out of it listening, but Jackie just loves it. That much we know. And for those who aren't here, Andy and Dale, I'm not quite sure what's going on with them. I know they have a friend up in Canada, up in Ontario, that's recently gone through a triple bypass. Was doing well, last we heard, but not sure if that's it or if something else is going on. There haven't been any hurricanes hitting their winter residence in Arizona, so there might have been other things going on down there. We're not quite sure. The message this morning is trusting God. Very rare topic. As I was going through and saving my message, saving the scriptures and everything for the message, I realized this is the fourth message I've done called trusting God. Every last one of them have been different, but you'll have that. As we look at the world around us, as we look at the scenario going on, the things happening around us, sometimes we wonder, is God in control? Now, I know we say we know God is in control. I get that. I understand that we can... What is the thing? I grew up in the South. Y'all understand that. And sometimes you ask somebody how they're doing, they'll say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Well, yes, you are, but what's going on with you? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I'm not going to talk about the things that are actually going on. The things that happen in our lives will get, sometimes, for a period of time, get the best of us. Praise God that God is faithful. He doesn't turn his back and abandon us at that point. If you go through the Psalms, you'll see so many times David's crying out, how long do I have to go through this? We talked last week about Joseph spending all that time in jail, spending all that time in the prison in Egypt, and how there's that opportunity to just freak out, give up. But are we really trusting God? I found when you come to the point where God is all you have, that God is all you need. More importantly, I found out that when you come to the point where God is all you have, you realize that God has always been all you need. But then when things get comfortable, we tend to forget. Okay, I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. And I have to be on guard of this. In John 6, beginning with verse 60, Jesus has just told the crowd, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. And starting with verse 60, he says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus talking to a crowd of people, talking to his disciples, talking to his followers. You had the 12 and you had a bunch of other people following him. And he says some things that were counterculture. He said some things that were against their understanding of what the law said. You know, human beings do not show up on the list of creatures you can eat. If you go through the law, you know, you can eat the animal, the cow that had the sheep with the cloven hoof. You couldn't eat the camel because it has toes and not hoofs. You could eat some birds, but not others. You could eat some fish, but not others. People did not show up on that list at all. Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. They're like, what? They got a little upset. They didn't understand the things that God was doing. Now, this is an example that seems somewhat extreme, but how many times in our own life is God doing something that we don't understand exactly what he's doing? All the time. Situations arise that just don't make sense. God, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Lord, I thought you loved me. What are you doing? Are we trusting God? You know, one good thing about going back and recording a whole bunch of Christian music is you get some from all over the place. And I got Why Me, Lord, Chris Christopherson. Got One Day at a Time. Sometimes we look back at those things and say, wait a minute. God, I need you to guide me. See, the Lord is at work in our hearts and in our lives all the time. Just so often we don't see it. So often we don't recognize it. Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says something that completely blew their mind. And rather than say, I don't understand, teach me, some of them turned and walked away. And as the crowd left and it got down to the 12, Jesus says to them, will you go away also? Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. What are our other options? Do we trust God or do we trust ourselves? And how far has trusting ourselves gotten us in the past? What's our track record? I don't know about you. Mine's pretty messed up. So when the Lord is doing something that we don't understand, do we take the time to say, I may not understand it, but I still trust that God is God. I may be confused by the circumstances, but he is not. I may be overwhelmed by what is going on, but he is not. I may feel like I'm alone. I'm banging my head against the wall. I'm not making any progress, but God is still in control. Sometimes we're in a holding pattern. Sometimes it might be 40 years walking around that mountain. Not something to look forward to, yet still that's a reality in people's lives. Sometimes things just do not seem to be changing. But God is still in control. Are we trusting God no matter what our circumstances are? As we see the turmoil around us, we see the racial divide in this country. For instance, there's so many different bits of turmoil. We take a look at the racial divide in this country. And I remember Dr. King's speech that I have a dream one day a man will be judged by the content of his character and not the color of his skin. I don't see that happening in our country. Mainly the reason I don't see that happening in our country is because I see a bunch of people in our country that are focusing on the color of people's skin to isolate one group from another. That's not what the Civil Rights March was about. I mean, things were horrific in the 60s. And I, full disclosure, I was born in 1960, okay? I don't have a lot of memories from the 60s. But I can go back and take a look. And I've looked through history and I've seen some of the things that have happened. I grew up in a neighborhood that when we moved into the neighborhood, it was about half black and half white. And by the time I graduated high school, there were two white families and two Puerto Rican families, and everyone else was black. I've been around people of different colors. People are people. There are some good, there are some bad, and there are a bunch of mediocre. I hit the mediocre category most of the time. There's not, you know, all and never are two terms that really don't apply much to people. Everybody and nobody doesn't apply much because we're all individuals. We're all made uniquely, gifted uniquely by God. And some are better at dealing with turmoil than others. Some are gifted in different ways. Some are more pleasant than others. Some are easier to get along with. Some are the people you would really rather follow in a fight. And some are the people that you would really not want to lead because they're not real good at following. You get all kinds. There are all kinds of people. So with everybody being different, we see the turmoil that's going on in our nation. We see the turmoil that goes on around us. A couple of us are still working. A couple of us are still going to a job where they expect us to show up so they'll pay us. Not quite necessarily the same thing as a couple of us are still working. It's a little different. But going to a place of employment and working for other people. And sometimes in the midst of that, you have some people that are difficult to work with. Sometimes you have neighbors that are difficult to be neighborly with. We have turmoil all around us. And sometimes our life gets overwhelming. But God is still God. God still loves us. God is still in control. God is still at work in our lives. When things are going smooth, or when things aren't going bad, put it that way, it's easy to forget that trusting God sometimes involves going through difficult times. 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 10. Says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Stop right there for just a minute. What he's saying is everything around us is temporary, except our relationship with God, except our spirit within us. Everything around us is temporary. Everything around us is going to go away. So do we focus on the things that are temporary, or do we focus on the things that are eternal? If everything around us is going to end at some point, how much energy do we want to waste on temporary things? That doesn't mean we should just go out and destroy everything around it, because it's all going to get destroyed anyway. But what it means is our relationship with people, the way we demonstrate God's love in our lives, the way we interact with people, touching and changing hearts, the way we show God's grace and God's mercy and God's love to people around us. These are things that are important. These are things that aren't going to pass away. Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Praise God, in which righteousness dwells. So much of the turmoil around, all the turmoil around us gone. So let's focus on the things of God. Let's focus on showing the grace and love and mercy of God no matter what our current circumstances are, because our current circumstances are not the end of the story. They're not the way things are going to end up. it's a temporary thing. John Bevere's Driven by Eternity. If anybody gone through that study, we did it here a long time ago, saying, you know, that basically when you start dividing by infinity, our time here by infinite time, our time here is not even enough to register on anything. So the little sliver of basically nothing that our life is compared to eternity, we get wrapped up in this because we have the wrong perspective. We look at, got to get up and go to work today. I owe, so off to work I go. Thank God it's Friday. Oh God, it's Monday. You know, wrapped into the things of the temporal life, and not instead focusing on the things that are eternal. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's what I was saying. Focusing on the things that are eternal. Focusing on the things of God. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them those things which are some things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. The long suffering of God is salvation. Lord, why haven't you put an end to this? Lord, why haven't you stopped this? As in Revelation, as they're opening seals, I don't remember which seal it was, but as the seal was opened, I heard the voice of them under the altar who had been slain for the cause of Christ, saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on this wicked generation? And the Lord spoke to them and said, until the rest of your brethren who will be killed for the testimony of Christ should be accomplished. There is a time. God's timing is at work throughout all history. Everything that is recorded, everything that is done. The Bible tells us that all of our days are written in the book before ever any of them were. That God is the one who knows the end from the beginning. And if the salvation of God is demonstrated in his patience and his long suffering, that means that the things that we are going through, the turmoil that we encounter, the people that get on our nerves or whatever the situation is, God still has their arm reached out to touch them and draw them. His arm is not short that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Jesus said, no one can come to you except is given to you of my Father. If God doesn't draw people, they cannot come to Jesus. That's what Jesus said. So as we're going through sometimes difficult situations, we know that God is still at work, and the long-suffering of God is salvation. God is being patient and touching and drawing hearts. I've mentioned and incredibly, probably too many times, my brothers and the prophecy my mom got when I was 12. If God were not patient, I wouldn't have been able to go the 16 years without darkening a door. God could have given up on me. Or my brother that went 35 years without being sober unless he was in jail, who's now a pastor. God has been merciful in each and every one of our lives. When we focus on ourselves and just see the turmoil around us as an obstacle and not recognize that God is at work through it, we miss the fact that God is doing wondrous things in people's lives. God is touching. God is drawing people. God is showing His grace and His mercy. And sometimes He's going to do that by how we react in difficult times. Sometimes people are going to say, how in the world can you be so upbeat when everything in the world is against you? Everything in the world seems to be stacked up. You got turmoil left and right. How in the world can you be joyful in the middle of that? It's like, because I'm not bound by my circumstances. I'm trusting God in the midst of it because I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know God loves me. He has demonstrated His love. He has shown Himself faithful in so many different ways that I'm not going to give up on what God is doing. I don't have to understand it to know He is still God and He still has a plan and a purpose. He is still at work even in the midst of it. Peter goes on, verse 17, says, but you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter says, you understand these things, that God is at work, but don't let our current circumstances get in the way or obstruct you trusting God in the midst of it. Instead, through the turmoil, through the problems, through the issues, determine to learn more and more and more about who God is and draw closer to Him. We've already discovered that when we rely on ourselves to get us out of our circumstances, it doesn't help. My way of doing things is not the right way. You know, there's the right way, the wrong way, and my way. My way is the wrong way. Just may not be the same wrong way somebody else takes, but it's not what God has in mind. In Luke 10, verse 13, Jesus says some very interesting stuff. Everybody knows that Jesus says some very interesting stuff all through the Scripture, right? So it's not like this is the only interesting thing He said. But He's talking... Well, here's what He says. Verse 13. Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who is exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Jesus said that if the mighty works that had been done in those cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, right around the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus was ministering and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and opening blind eyes and preaching preaching liberty to the captives and forgiveness of sin, the things that He had done there, He said if it had been done in Tyre and Sidon, if it had been done in the neighboring heathen towns, not those who thought they were religious, but in the heathen towns, they would have repented a long time ago. One of the words in the Old Testament, one of the words in the Hebrew that is translated as adultery, literally means highly fed and therefore wanton. In other words, having all you need and therefore not satisfied and wanting more. We see it in our own lives. Do we see it in our own nation? Here is a nation blessed of God. Here is a nation that God has... The founding of this nation is nothing short of miraculous. The different things that have happened over history where God has just made provision, nothing short of miraculous. But just like Nebuchadnezzar, all that I see has been provided by my own hand and become self-exalting rather than God-exalting. Nebuchadnezzar did it. Our nation does it. Prayerfully, as individuals, we don't do it. But we recognize that God has watched over us and kept us. Paul said, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, but Paul said, "What do you have that has not been given to you?" What do we have that God has not provided? The very breath that we breathe is a gift from God. Waking up in our right mind is a gift from God. The ability to stand, the ability to walk, the ability to talk. Everything we have is a gift from God. And God has shown Himself faithful and has worked in our lives in so many different ways. And when we recognize that if everything we have is a gift from God, and God has shown His love and His tender mercies to us in the middle of it, and sometimes things don't go our way, that doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change our relationship with God. It doesn't change the fact that He loves us. It doesn't change anything unless we are merely focused on the temporal, the temporary things, the things that are going to pass away anyway. Let's focus on the things of God. Luke 7, last passage of Scripture. Luke 7, beginning with verse 18. Says, "Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples, sent him to Jesus, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Keeping in mind that when John the Baptist was baptizing at the Jordan River and Jesus came down, he said, "Why are you here? I need to be baptized by you." Jesus told John, "It is fitting to fulfill what is right." Jesus went to be baptized by John. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He saw Him coming and knew who He was. John's in prison. We know he's about to lose his head. And he sends people to Jesus. "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" At that very hour, he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and many blind eyes gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." What has God done in your life? It's a personal question for each and every one of you. What has God done in your life? Has He done anything that would make you doubt that He loves you? That doesn't mean life is always pleasant. That doesn't mean we don't go through hard times. That doesn't mean we don't cry. That doesn't mean we don't hurt. What it means is God has shown Himself faithful in your life and in mine. God has shown that He's paying attention. He's answered prayers that you didn't think anyone heard. He has made provision when you didn't know where it was coming from. He has sent comfort when you couldn't find any. And He has sent joy in the midst of situations that everyone around you is just at complete loss to try to explain. God has shown Himself faithful in each and every way. I'm telling you, we can trust God no matter what. Each and every one of us have gone through a lot of things, and we all have our own individual testimonies of what God has brought us through. There are people that you will meet as you go sharing stories with them. find that they've gone through horrific things. And I don't ever, ever, ever want to discount the pain people have gone through or try to compare my pain's worse than yours, or because each and every one of us are individuals. But I can categorically, 100%, absolutely guaranteed say that God loves you. He has not abandoned you. And that whatever the circumstance happens to be at the moment, even though it might seem to be overwhelming, even though it might be overwhelming beyond our own ability to deal with it, God has us. God loves us. And we can trust Him. Amen. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We know, Father, that You are at work even when the circumstances are horrible. Even when the circumstances are difficult, even when our lives are in turmoil, You are still God and You still love us and You still show Yourself faithful. So, Lord, we give praise for that. Help us, Lord, to always stay focused on You, to take our eyes and our attention off of the turmoil around us. Even if it means being like Peter and say, Lord, save me. That we trust You no matter what. For You are faithful. And we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.